Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
So today I want to continue to develop our 50-day challenge, continue to clarify identity issues, who we are, all those kind of things. And so we're stepping through this passage that's found in 1 Peter that's also quoting from the first Shavuot event. And so we've pulled all these passages together and we're summing them up and finding where their fullness is. It's in Messiah. And we are a part of this generation in a messianic era that gets to live out the fullness of all these things that were promised through him. So today I'm going to talk about royalty and priests. Royalty and priests. And as you know, we've been teaching about identity issues over the last couple of weeks. Identity determines meaning and purpose. So how you view yourself has a big impact in terms of how you live your life and where you're going in this life and even the life to come. So identity is everything. It's a prerequisite to meaning and purpose. Identity determines meaning and purpose, and identity determines destiny. The enemy, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. That's his chief trade, lying and deceiving. And the enemy has always tried to hide and destroy our identity. That's what he does. He tries to steal who we are. So, he's forever trying to hold us down. He's forever putting us down. Think about this. You ever heard these words? You're nothing. You'll never amount to anything. You're a loser. You're ugly. You're unclean. You're defiled. You're spoiled merchandise. No one would ever want you. The list could go on and on and on. And ultimately, the biggest lie. You know, you'd be better off dead. He's a liar. I don't know about you, but even growing up when I was little and in our family, man, our family specialized in the put-downs. Everyone had nicknames, and they were always derogatory. It was always a slam. And it was who could we beat up on today, you know? And we made it an art in our family. But I thought, you know what? I've observed other families, too. And I've seen the same thing. And I think that there's kind of a common denominator in our families, in our society, in our cultures, that we're just predisposed at putting each other down. It's just part of who we are as human beings. And it's part of the lie that we inherited from earlier generations that go all the way back to the beginning. The enemy is the one who has always sought to put us down, to make us feel cheap, to make us feel unimportant, insignificant. And it's a lie. Our Father in heaven, yeah, he has something different to say about each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And I'll tell you what, I've said this before. I'll be very discreet in our audience today. But every one of you is a winner. When you think about it, just being born, that's a war. Being conceived. And having to compete with 250,000 spermosa, you know? Trying to make your way in this race, right? Race to the egg, you know? Got to get to the egg. I'm telling you right now, when you think about it, you won! The fact that you were born automatically, it makes you a winner right out of the gate. Man, I'll tell you what, that alone should put a smile on every human face. that every human being born is just an amazing winner out of the gate. Our Father in heaven, He's our champion. He's your champion. He's on your side. He's for you, not against you. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God says, I don't want you to go to hell. You're not a loser. You're not insignificant. You're everything to me. I love you with an eternal love. I sent my Son to die for you, to pay the penalty that you owe for your sins, so that you can be forgiven, recreated, and restored to me. You matter. Man, I'll tell you what. God is awesome in every way, and the devil's a liar. And he's always, always trying to deceive us into thinking that God doesn't care and that actually God is against us. And that's the lie. That's the lie we need to dispel with the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. When we begin to understand who our Father is in heaven and who we are in Him, everything changes. And it changes dramatically. It's transformational. Last week, we addressed what it means to be chosen of God. This week, we'll look at our calling to be royalty and priests. Catching and running with this revelation that's tied up in 1 Peter, it is. It's transformational. It will transform you, not overnight, but over a period of time. As you meditate on it, catch it, understand it, embrace it, and begin to live it out, it'll change you. So, let's jump into our passage. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9. We've read this over and over and over the last couple of weeks. Let's look at it again. We'll look at a different aspect. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's tremendous how this passage originally relates to Israel and the descendants of Jacob, the Jewish people. But then through them and the Messiah, we too get to participate as the chosen. We too get grafted in. We too, who were once not a people, are now the people of God, joining that which God has already elected and chose. It's an amazing thing to catch this idea that we have group identity in Israel. That is the group we're identified with. We're Americans, we're this, we're that, we have our ethnicities. But being part of Israel transcends all of that because that is a supernatural, spiritual phenomenon, not just natural. Understanding who we are, who God is, what we're called to be, changes everything. So let's talk about kings and queens, a royal priesthood. This word royal literally means sovereigns. It literally means in Messiah, you are a king. In Messiah, you are a queen. Kings and queens, not even a prince or a princess. Step up. It's a king and a queen. That's who we are, royalty in Him. We are royalty. We watch all the movies, especially the ones from Britain, where it's always, you know, some pauper and all the injustice and the dream of someday being royalty, but never quite making it. The tragedy that always occurs, right? And we all kind of resonate with that, relate to that. Everyone wants to be a somebody, right? In Messiah, we get to be those somebodies. in Messiah, we get to be royalty, to understand that we become part of the king's family, of the king's glory, of the king's love is just like intense. When you consider what that means and the ramifications, it's huge. Kings and queens. See, I view myself as a king. I get that in me. I dwell on that. I meditate on that. And after a while, it changes the way I live my life. Kings live differently than the commoners, right? It is a different way of life. There's higher expectations, and there are privileges. See, if you viewed yourself as royalty, wouldn't that change a number of things in your life? You know, and the tough part is really grasping this and believing it and getting it in you. That's the tough part, because you got to overcome all the darkness, all the lies, everything you've already embraced. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You got to really begin to focus and meditate on that. When you're brushing your teeth in front of the mirror, you got to look at yourself and say, you're a queen or you're a king, right? You got to talk to yourself. You got to think about it morning, noon, and night. You got to say, yes, Lord, I believe that I am adopted, that you did make me a child, that I'm actually a part of your kingdom. And as you do that over and over, day in, day out, it begins to do something in you. You begin to hold your head up and you begin to walk differently, begin to realize who you are in Messiah. We're to be royalty, kings and queens, which implies that we rule and reign with him, that we rule and reign with God over creation. This is so misunderstood. In fact, it's something that for the most of the time we just neglect. Most believers are just happy being saved in Egypt. You know? Dayenu. It's enough. I'm forgiven. I didn't die. I'll just stay in Egypt. I'll go back to making, you know, mud in the mud pits, making bricks for Egypt. I'm happy to be here. What? You're a son of the king. You're not making bricks anymore. You're being freed to go and live as a king and a queen in a new land, ruling and reigning with him. So most believers are just satisfied to be saved. That's enough. When God has called us to actually live as free people in him. So that next covenant, the covenant of Moses, that's all about living within the constructs of freedom. That's where we get the Torah. We live a new way of life, right? So there's a number of believers that are getting into that, and the church is starting to look at that and return to the roots of their faith. But no one's really thinking too much about what it means to rule and reign with him. That's the Davidic covenant. So you come through Abraham, you get saved by faith, through grace, trusting in the promised seed, Messiah. Then you move on to Moses, and you begin to live differently now that you're saved. Then you move on to David, and you learn to actually rule and reign, to order your life, and to begin to rule and reign in a compassionate way over those that God has given you authority in terms of over their lives. It's just an amazing journey of faith. So I want to look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 31. It says this, but seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. The kingdom of God is near you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. What things? All the things we worry about. God says, don't worry about those. I'll take care of all those if you seek my kingdom. We say, no. I'm too worried about these things. He says, okay, you work on those. And then we try to work on those, and we never really do much with those, right? It's always a struggle. God says, well, if you'll seek my kingdom, I'll take care of these things. But faith is hard. It's not easy. You seek his kingdom, he'll take care of all these things that you need, that he knows you need. Seek my kingdom, all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock. These are the followers, the disciples of Yeshua, the sect of the Nazarene. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You and I have been given the kingdom. We are the subjects of the king. We're the children of the king. We're ambassadors of the king. We've been given authority and power and glory and life indestructible, right? It's in us. It's who we are. And we have the blessed privilege of sharing the love of God with people all around us, praying for the sick, right? Reaching out to the needy. We have heaven behind us to help us. What a great calling this is. It's a great calling. God has given to us his kingdom, and we are here to advance this kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Here's another passage, Revelation chapter 1. This is the revelator John. He says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, Yeshua, Jesus, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. It doesn't say when he comes again, he will then rule over the kings of the earth. It's not in the future that he becomes the ruler over the kings of the earth. It's past tense. It was past tense 2,000 years ago. In his resurrection and ascension, Paul quotes Psalms 2. He quotes Psalms 2, the coronation of the king, and basically says, theologically, that in his ascension, he has become king now. And so he's ruling and reigning as king over all now. He's been ruling for 2,000 years. And I know the big question is, well, I'm bothered by the way he's ruling over the kings of the earth. I mean, look at all the things that are going on. Well, you got to factor in that he works with free will, not overruling it. And as a compassionate and wise king, he will, with great patience, work with the rulers of this world as he brings about his Father's plan. I don't know about you, but within that paradigm, I think he's doing a great job. Great job. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 kind of restates this a little bit differently. Speaking of Yeshua in relationship to us, his followers, says, and he has made us to be a kingdom. We're a kingdom. The followers of Jesus, we're a kingdom. Wherever you find the followers of Jesus, you find the kingdom. The kingdom is present in us. The Holy Spirit is the very power of the kingdom in us, on the earth, wherever we're found. And together, if we ever get together, that's where we're working on, the unity that we need. Can you imagine if believers everywhere were really united in our core values, in our core beliefs, in the mandate to go and share the gospel? Well, I'll tell you what. But, needlessly to say this, but I will. We're a dynamo regardless. And the kingdom of God is growing. And we are the recipients of that kingdom. We have so much to be excited about. Wow. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. So he sends the 70 out. He says, I'm going to be leaving in a while. And really, you're going to be the ones that carry on my work. And so I want to go ahead and train you to do that. And you've been being trained all along. But here's the big kickoff today. Today I want you to go. Take off. I'll see you in, you know, weeks to come or whatever. But I want you to go through some of the cities of Israel. And I want you to proclaim the good news. That I've come. That the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick. cast out demons, raise the dead, and when you do, tell them that the kingdom of God has come to them. So they all go off, and they've been with them. They've seen him do the stuff. They even got to join him in some of that, but now they are on their own, right? They go out in twos, minimum of twos. They probably came back together and was more like 10 and 15 after they got out of sight, you know. But they went out, and they actually did the stuff. And their response tells us that they didn't really think they would be able to do it. Yeah, they come back to Jesus, like, surprised, which tells us they didn't think anything was going to happen. They came back, and they said, you know what? People were healed. You know, people opened up their hearts to you. They believed. We even spoke to demons and they obeyed us. And Jesus, you know, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens. In other words, the kingdom of God was overcoming the kingdom of darkness, signified by the fall of what's used by way of metaphor. But he goes on to tell them something very important, and it's very important for all of us to understand that this. He said, do not glory in the fact that the demons, these majesties, these fallen gods, don't glory in the fact that they have to obey you, which implies and is true that your authority is greater and that your position is greater, that you'll be replacing them in the age to come. Don't glory in that. Don't get boastful. Don't get arrogant in your royalty. It's easy to look down at people and get a big head because you're royalty. Don't do that. That's what the Gentiles do with royalty. Don't do that. No. You be thankful and focus on this and this alone, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because in the end, that's all that matters. See, whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether you embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior is what matters. Because in the end, when they're thumbing through the book on that great day of judgment, if your name isn't in that book, angels specialized in torment will torment you and then drag you off to the lake of fire where you'll be devoured and your life will cease forever. The second death. So he says, you know what? Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Focus on that. And he says that in a little bit different way in this passage in Revelation. It says, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. It's only when we, as an individual, come to terms with our sins. It's only when we say, you know what? Yeah, I got a lot of sin here. Got a lot of baggage. A lot of things I'm ashamed of. A lot of things that torment me. A lot of things that hold me back. God, I confess I'm a sinner. Would you take away my sin? Jesus, I embrace you as my Savior. Take away my guilt. Take away my sin. Take away my shame. When we do that as individuals, when we ask Jesus to come and do that as an individual, it's then and only then that we get born again. It's then and only then that we get to begin to step into freedom and change everything about who we are. And that's what we rejoice in. So even though we're kings and queens, don't get heady. Even though we have authority over all the powers of darkness, don't get heady. Stay humble and full of love like your Father in heaven. And focus on this, that without the Lord Jesus, you and I would perish in our sins. It's all about him. You know I will. Revelation chapter 5 says, where will we rule and reign? That's a big question. We're going to rule and reign. Where? Right? Revelation 5, 9 through 10. And they sang a new song, saying, this is heaven, the elders in heaven, the four creatures in heaven, the angels in heaven. It says they sing a new song, and they're singing about Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. It says this, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. I just want to die and go to heaven. No, actually, that's not the goal. How pathetic is that? Just want to get old and die and go to heaven. No. Heaven's great, but it's not the end of the world. We go to heaven for a period of time. And then Jesus is coming back to the earth. And he's bringing all those who have died with him, because that was not the goal. It's the earth. And he's going to recreate the earth and the heavens, and heaven and earth are going to become one, Revelation 21, right? And that's what God has intended for us. And we will rule and reign with him in a new creation forever and ever and ever on the earth. If you just die and go to heaven, why do you need a resurrection? What do you need a body for if you're already there enjoying heaven, right? You need a body because there's going to be a new earth, and this body is going to be transformed like this earth, and we're going to go on, which makes everything we do here and now connected with what we're going to do in the future. This life has traction with the next life. Man, this life's important. Your life now is important. What you're doing now will follow you into eternity. Build and build wisely. It's all about your retirement. We're saved by grace, but the retirement benefits, that's hooked into the commandments of God. Okay? So, build and build wisely. So we're royalty. The next thing it says in this verse is that we are also priests unto God. We're kings and queens, and then we're also priests. Priests are intermediaries between God and people. They connect God and people. That go-between is designed to help this group over here come this way and connect with God. And also, God connects with the people through that intermediary. That's called a priest. That's what priests do. Priests pray to God. They worship God. They minister to God. Then they turn and they help people. And they witness to people and teach the people about God. And they're trying to bring the people to God. That's the job of a priest. There's a prerequisite to being a priest. Each of us, we have to have first and foremost a personal, living, vibrant relationship with him. And just like I said earlier, that comes through faith in Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's a divine conspiracy. They got each other's back. He says, I sent my son to die for you. What my son went through and what he experienced, the torment, the shame, the rejection, to pay for your sins, you think I'm going to let you come to me through any other person or thing, any other religion? Give me a break. That's my son. Everyone goes through him. What he had to pay to secure your redemption, everyone without exception, through him, or you don't come to me. And then Jesus says, hey, I love my Father. And no one comes to me unless the Father draws them, because the Father loves the Son. Divine conspiracy. I love it. Okay, so we need a relationship with Jesus in order to relate to God. It's through Jesus that we have this relationship. It's through Jesus that we become a priest unto God. He has made us a kingdom and priests unto God. So, embrace Jesus as your Savior and King. Do it today. Never put it off. If you've not given your life to Jesus, do it now. Never wait. Don't you want to be part of the family of God? Don't you want to be forgiven and changed, recreated, and become royalty? Do you not want to become a priest unto him. So, for those that are already priests, minister to God. God loves relationship. He desires relationship. The priest is supposed to minister to him. Talk to him, worship him, intercede, study, fellowship, get a relationship. I journal. God speaks to me. Does God speak to you? Does God come and give you impressions and in your spirit, you know, speak things to you? And if he doesn't, well, I apologize. Okay. If you're not hearing him, it's not because he doesn't, it's because you're not listening. Stop and listen once in a while. Ask him some questions. Wait on him. And in that small, still voice, get a pencil and write down some of the things he's saying to you. Ask him some questions. He loves answering questions. Here's a big one. Who am I? How do you view me? Get ready. Get your handkerchief or Kleenex. Spend some time with him. And when he tells you what he thinks of you, yeah, you'll cry like a baby. The love of God is overwhelming, transformational. Priests minister to the people on behalf of God. Healing, deliverance, serving, teaching, discipling, that's what we're called to do. We are his priests. We're a kingdom of priests. We're a royal priesthood. We're called to love people, to reach out to people on behalf of God, to pray for people on behalf of God. That's our job description. And to do it with loving kindness and truth, not grumpy and frumpy, but with smiles full of grace, reaching out and ministering to people. We did this 50-day deal. You write down 3 names minimum, right? How many people wrote down names? How many people are still thinking about writing down names? Write those names down. God wants us to be specific. God does not answer general prayers because the glory won't go to him. You get specific in your prayers, and then God will answer them, and it'll bring glory to his name, and people will be drawn to him. So write specific things down. Lists, names of people, pray for them, ask God to use you in their lives. Write down names of people that are in your circle of influence and pray for them daily and watch God move. I told you about my neighbor, hadn't seen him for like 3 months because he just moved in. And I was convinced no one moved in. And I put his name on my list, and now all of a sudden I'm seeing him. And that last time I chased him back over to his house because they came and introduced themselves to us, which we're supposed to be doing that for them. I think I'm on his list. Maybe he has a list. Maybe he's praying for me, you know? But something's going on there. Yeah, the other day, he's backing out of his driveway. He rolls down the window. He sees me. He rolls down the window. He goes, "Shabbat shalom." I almost fell down. Because that's secret language. Go on and say Shabbat shalom at the grocery store to some stranger. They'll look at you like, what? Yeah. Like, how do he know that? He doesn't even know me. He doesn't know who we are. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I am on his list. I don't know. But he says Shabbat shalom and smile really big. Like, my list is getting busy. Things are happening. Ever since I started praying for specific people and also God use me in their lives, things are happening. We are called to do these things. And then also look for divine appointments for what God wants to do with someone and you that's not on your list. Look for those too. You're a king, you're a queen, and you're a priest. Live the life. Live the adventure. God's counting on you. The world's counting on you. What are you thinking? Get a hold of who you are in him, a king and a queen, a royal priesthood. And then share the love of God. Do works of kindness. Pray for people. And look forward to the adventure of who you are in him. And join him as he advances his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way. You shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehillah Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov. Shabbat.